Anybody in the house that loves Jesus?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I know we have a little bit extra singing now. We're going to catch up in heaven. We'll get it all sung in heaven. Amen. Praise. Love these songs about keep on walking and don't give up. Don't go back. Do E flat.
You ever had one of those days? Well, I didn't finish. Is it a good day or a bad day? You ever had one of them good days or bad days? Isn't it amazing how we take the good days for granted, never even mention them, but we have a bad one, everybody knows about it. Even the people in front of us when we're sitting parked in the drive-thru lane.
Jesus, I need you again today. There's just no other way. Whenever I find myself facing a wall, only one that I can call. There's been days when everything I did turned out wrong, and I remember words to this song. Seems that you're the only one who knows what to do. So Lord, please understand why I'm bothering you. Jesus, I need you again today. Just no other way. Whenever I find myself facing a wall, you're the only one that I can call. Jesus, I need you again today. There's just no other way. Whenever I find myself facing a wall, you're the only one that I can call. Only one I need to call.
How many knows he'll answer?
We just called Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad that we have access to that holiest of holies. We can go into the presence of Almighty God. Amen. And get what we need to get us through. Good to have you with us tonight. Appreciate you being here. Good to feel the presence of the Lord. Hadn't God been good to us? Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Gave us another day, another opportunity. And if you're wondering where all the work trucks are, we're having the place and still with security cameras. We've been having a little bit of extracurricular activity around here. Some folks are messing with some things that shouldn't be. So isn't it a shame that you have to do that? But that's what all the commotion is, and they're working out in the Curtis Center tonight. So Brother Jim was with us today, and he said y'all need to hurry up and come on over and be in service with them, but they hadn't made it yet, so we'll see if they do before the night is over. But if you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go to the book of Joshua. Amen. A lot has been said about Joshua, and rightly so. Had a very active life, to say the least. And a lot of things accomplished by him.
But the Lord has been really speaking to me this week about the exploits of Joshua, and I've spent most of the week in the book of Joshua. So I'm not going to try to preach the entire book of Joshua tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And but we'll cover what we can. Amen. From Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15 is where we want to take our lesson text tonight. This is probably one of the most familiar passages of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24, verses number 14 and 15. This is Joshua speaking to Israel. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you repeat that last part with me? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can we do it one more time? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your anointed word. We're thankful, God, for your spirit that we feel here tonight. And for those who have gathered, Father, we pray your blessing and anointing upon each and every one tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to be in one mind and one accord. God, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, we ask you very humbly to anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, as you speak to us, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would give us that you would have us to hear tonight, God. And I pray, Lord, that it will be uplifting to each and every one of us here tonight. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. You're clapping for Jesus. It's all right. Amen. Praise God. As I said earlier, I spent a lot of time in the book of Joshua this week and a lot of time contemplating and just reminiscing on the many adventures and exploits of Joshua. And Joshua was, in fact, a very mighty man among other things. But one thing that shows up in the book of Joshua that we don't usually try to fit into the characteristics of Joshua was his humility. We think of him as being a warring person, which he was. He was basically the commander. He was Moses' right-hand man. He was the one that, little did he know, amen, and how many can relate to this, he didn't know what God had in store for him, but God did. God knew exactly what he was equipping Joshua for. But Joshua was very humble and showed forth a lot of humility, even in his obligations and his duties to God and to Moses and to his troops. And also, that's something that we don't read about until the end of Joshua's life, and most of that is comprised in verses or in chapters number 23 and 24. He had a long and illustrious life, won a lot of battles, and he was one of the two spies that came back with a good report. You know, out of 12 spies that went in to look at the land of Canaan, 10 came back and said, "Surely it flows with milk and honey. There's a lot of goodness over there." But I got to tell you, they're stronger than we are. They're more mightier than we are. They outnumber us. We'll never be able to go in and overtake it. But got to understand, God had already promised them that. And there's a lesson there. Sometimes it may not look like we can receive what God has promised, but if God has promised it, you don't have to weigh the odds. Amen? You're already a winner. You're just going and possess it. So Caleb and Joshua said, no, we're more than able to go in. And they knew that that wasn't in their own ability or their own power, because it was a band of ragtag army, if you would, because they had been enslaved for some 400 years. So they didn't have the ability to fight like normal military people would, but they had God on their side. How many knows that makes a big difference when you have God on your side? So what I began to think about this week, and especially through verse 14 and 15, was accountability. We use accountability a lot. Accountability comes up in our business world quite often, and I worked with Billy for years and years and years, and one thing that they preached that we needed to be accountable for our territory, accountable for what we was doing, because we don't always have direct supervision. We don't always have somebody standing on our shoulder. Most of the time that we work, we're by ourselves. We're doing it, so we're accountable, amen, not only to the company that we work for, we're accountable to the customers that we serve. And you know what? We're actually accountable to God to do the very best that we possibly can, because God urges, urges us to do that in His Word. So I find that accountability is what I want to talk about tonight. And if I had a message title or a topic tonight, and it may be a little bit different tonight, because some of you know me, sometimes we try to do maybe a Bible study and it kind of open it up to you. So I'm going to do that tonight, kind of open up the floor. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to raise your hand and we'll go from there. But if I had a message title tonight, it would simply be accountability. Basically, accountability means answerable, okay? We kind of understand what that means. It also means being responsible. So if we are accountable for something, then that's our responsibility to be in charge of that or be answerable to that. How many knows that sometimes in a place of job or working, sometimes if you have people under you, you're accountable for those people. You're accountable for getting that particular job done. So we find that that Joshua was accountable for a number of things. First of all, he was accountable to God. And can I just say, we use the scripture a lot. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these other things will be added unto you. If we can be accountable, truly accountable to God, it'll make the rest of our life fall into place a lot easier. But when we try to turn that upside down, we try to be accountable to everything else and leave God last, no wonder we have so much problems and issues when we're trying to straighten out our life. But Joshua was accountable to God. He was accountable in his loyalty to Moses. And if you read the entire book of Joshua, you'll find how many times that Joshua was Moses' biggest supporter. He was there unquestioning whatever Moses declared that Joshua did. He did it. He did it without wavering. He did it without arguing. And he did it because he knew that Moses was anointed of God. Amen. And the Bible says, touch not mine anointed. So when somebody's anointed and God is using them, then they need your support. Whether it's pastoring, whether it's evangelizing, whether it's Sunday school teaching, whether it's choir leadership, whatever that case may be, they need our loyalty. They need our support, because we need to be accountable for that. He was also accountable to his duties as a commander. Now, God blessed him mightily. He was one that took, like I said, a band of Israelites, and they'd never been trained in military actions and all. But through the power and the anointing of God, God gave Joshua the ability, and he was accountable to his duties as a commander. And finally, he was accountable to his family. We're going to get into that just a little bit more in detail tonight. But first of all, I want to go back into the introduction of Joshua and find out what happened as he began to take the reins of leadership. Great big responsibility. Something that he did not take lightly, something that he knew was a tremendous amount of responsibility. A lot of the burden of the children of Israel lay upon his shoulders. Now, we know what Moses did, and we know how Moses was obedient unto God, and we know that Moses failed and disobeyed God on one particular thing. So God had told Moses that he would not enter into the Canaan land. He let them go up and see it, but because of disobedience. And let me tell you something, folks. Disobedience does have consequences. Amen? Doesn't mean you're unsaved. Doesn't mean you lose out on heaven. But disobedience does carry consequences, just like sin carries consequences. So I want to read the very first chapter, probably down through verse number 9, if we will, just to give us a little introduction as how Joshua begins to move into the reins of leadership. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. Everybody say, it happened. Yeah. You know me, every time I read, and it came to pass, that means it happened. Amen. That the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, or do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, everybody say that with me, every place that the sole of your foot, now there's the first accountability. Man, that means that Joshua couldn't just send them over into the promised land. He had to lead them into the promised land. So he said, not everywhere that Israel lays their foot, but he said, everywhere that your foot lays, I will give it to them. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Two promises right there, back to back, that God has just given Joshua. Then he says, be strong and of a good courage. I want you to remember that. Make a mental note of what God has spoken to Joshua here. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, Brother Eddie, what is so important about that? God is speaking to Joshua in the same tone and format that he spoke to Moses. Everything up to this point, Joshua has been getting it through Moses. Okay? I mean, he knows God's going to have a person. God's going to speak to somebody, and God used Moses in a mighty way. But now Moses, his servant, is dead. So God is still real, and God is still, that means God has somebody in place, all right? God's always going to have a person in place to carry on his work. So he now begins to speak directly to Joshua. How many have been given instruction and details through someone else? Does it not have sometimes a way of sort of getting distorted a little bit? Or could, amen, get a little bit distorted. Sometimes the words may be the same, but the accent is different. Amen, how many knows that to be true? But when you get it firsthand, and God began to speak to Joshua firsthand. Now, he's given him a lot in these 9 verses. And my first reaction was, my goodness, Lord, you're dumping all this on me? You know, we have a tendency to act that way when God begins to call on us to step out on faith in a different ministry, to whatever with the obligation is that God has placed upon our heart. Amen. So many times we want to question God. God, I don't think I can do all that. Are you sure you're talking to the right person? And here's another thing with you. I ain't Moses. Okay? I ain't Moses. I'm Joshua. God knows exactly who you're speaking to. Okay? I often say, God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to somebody else. No, he doesn't do that. He knows exactly who he's talking to. He knows your ability. He knows your qualifications. And he can supply those things. So he's talking to Joshua and telling him what all he needs to do and what all he wants to do. But here's the thing. He continually tells them, be strong and of a good courage. He tells him about 3 times just in those short 9 verses. Be strong and of a good courage. Why do you think that God had to repeat himself 3 times to tell Joshua to be strong and of a good courage? Anybody? Sometimes we hear it, but we don't get it. That's exactly right. You know, kind of, my mama used to say, going in one ear and out the other. You know, sometimes it just doesn't register. And also, I believe that he knew that being second in command is a lot different than being in command. Okay? This time, he didn't have Moses to run to and say, the people are rebelling. He didn't have time to say, Moses, what can I do? The people are about to stone me. He had God to answer to, and God spoke directly to him. So he said, what he lets me to know is there's going to be some rough times, Joshua. We don't like to hear that sometimes. You know, the good thing is you're getting a promotion. And the good thing is you're getting a raise. But the bad thing is you're going to have to be responsible for a whole lot more than what you are right now. God, can we just kind of take the 2 first ones and leave the last one? No, it comes with obligations. It comes with duties. Amen. So he's telling Joshua exactly, be strong and be of a good courage because you're going to need it. You're going to need the strength and you're going to need that courage. I'll be with you, okay? I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be with you, but I want you to be prepared for what I'm going to bring you through because we're going to have victory, amen? We're going to go in and we're going to possess the land. We're going to go in, as the song says, and take back what the devil has stole from us, amen? So be ready, be strong, and be of good courage. Chapter 23, I want us to look at that. We started in chapter number 24, but I want you to look at chapter number 23. Because this is after a long period of time. In fact, the Bible states it that way. This is after wars have been won. This is after great battles have been won. This is after the children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan and have actually entered in and are possessing the land that has been a promise for 40 years. Some of us get impatient if God hadn't fulfilled His promise in 40 minutes, let alone 40 years. Can you imagine the exuberation? Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the ecstasy that the children of Israel, when they marched into the land of Canaan and received this? Some of that first generation wasn't even able to be there. But man, I would imagine there was joy and celebration and thanksgiving as they entered into that glorious land that flowed with milk and honey. This is that time. And now a long time has passed. And usually when a long time passes in the Word of God, it means that is usually a time of peace and prosperity. And have we learned something from that? Because sometimes most of our conversations with God is during turmoil and strife and issues and problems. But during time of prosperity and peace, we don't talk to Him as much. That didn't cost you any extra. I just thought I'd throw that in because I'm guilty of that as well. But this is a time. We see that with Job. We read so much of Job's trials. We read so much of the persecution. We preach on it, the patience of Job. But do you realize in this, the last few chapters of Job, the Bible says for the last 140 years, he fared sumptuously. He did well. We have all these chapters of the terrible things and have just a little bitty excerpt of things went good. And that's kind of has a way of making it into our spiritual walk with God. But that's exactly what happened. So in verse number 23, and it came to pass, everybody say, and it happened a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Now let me ask you, when we first read of Joshua, when he came on the scene, how did you picture Joshua? Anybody? Middle-aged, young? Anybody? What kind of physical characteristics do you think he had? Like a soldier? Anybody else? Arnold Schwarzenegger? Charles Atlas? No. Probably an ordinary man. I think probably grown, but probably still not very old. A background, maybe, of fearing God, because I believe that God and also Moses saw something in him. You know, sometimes we don't realize exactly what is in us. We don't realize what God can use in us. And you know, sometimes that's a good thing. Because if we are kind of like the publican and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee was praying, I thank my God I'm not like this man. I do this, I pay my tithes, I do this, and I pray and all this. But the publican, he just smote himself on the chest and said, have mercy on me. And the Bible says he went away more justified than the one who was praying. So sometimes we don't see that ability that is within us, but God does. God looks into the depths of our heart and He knows what He can use about us. So when God calls us to do something, we should not make excuses and say, God, you know I can't do that. Well, no, God doesn't know that, because if He knew you couldn't do it, He wouldn't ask you to do it. And He's not asking you to do it by yourself. He's asking you to just do it as He blesses you to do it. Amen? Whatever that may be. So God saw something in Joshua. Moses saw something in Joshua. And evidently, the people of Israel saw something in Joshua, because he and Caleb were able to sway the thoughts and the actions of 10 other spies who said, no, we can't. But the two said, yes, we can. And God was blessing them. So they were able. So evidently, they had that ability, man, to persuade people in the form of leadership. So Moses had, or Joshua had, these same type of qualifications. But the main thing is, he was obedient unto God. Regardless of our ability, regardless of our characteristics, regardless of our age, young, middle age, old, whatever it is, the most important thing is, are we submissive and obedient to God? Because if we're not, God can't use us. Amen. So then it says, Joshua called for all of Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Now I want you to understand something. Here is the children of Israel into the Canaan land, into the possessed land, into the promised land. And many of the people that withstood them have already been defeated. Great battles in which Joshua himself was mostly the commander during those times. But there still remains these different nations or cities or sections that are still idolatrous. Okay? They're still against God. And Joshua, through the anointing of God, is telling the children of Israel, don't have anything to do with it. Come on. How many knows that when we're born again, we come into the relationship with Jesus Christ? He is Lord and Savior. We're filled with His Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. He promises us that He will not leave us nor forsake us. But how many knows that even though He is with us and we have a relationship with Him, there's still things in this world we do not need to be involved in. There's things that we don't need to bring into our life. There's things that we need to stay away from. These are things that God wants us to do. God could wipe them all out, but He didn't. There's still some nations there. And He said, we're going to drive them out. Amen. And you will have this entire land to yourself. You're already going to divide it up to inheritance. So this is what is really, really remarkable. Because here is Joshua. And Joshua basically, and the children of Israel, have lived in peace for a long time, according to the word of God. He said, now, for a long time had passed. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given them. Okay? Long time after the Lord had filled you and blessed you. Amen. There's still things out there that you don't need to be a part of, that you don't need to associate with. So He's using Joshua, and He's using Joshua in the limelight, or in the whatever you call the end of, basically end of his life, to be able to proclaim this to the children of Israel. Now I want you to understand, and it doesn't say here, but in Bible history, and if you look it up, I was very interested, because Joshua made a powerful statement. As for me, that's one thing, but he didn't leave it there. He said, as for me and my family. I don't find where the Bible mentions anything about his family, except for his father. He was the son of Nun. Okay? But it doesn't say anything about his brothers and sisters. But if you read Bible history, and those that are able to glean from the different things of, what do you call it? Ancestral things. Comes to find out that Joshua did marry.
And he married basically, I think, about the time that they went in. After all the... and this, he thought all of his battles were over. I'm sorry. After all the battles were over with the enemies, then he gets married, okay? And he has only daughters. Think about this, dads. Only daughters. What are we concerned about when we raise daughters?
Bad boys.
Who you gonna call? Daddy. That's who you gonna call. We want our children, we want our daughters, amen, to marry a wonderful guy. And let me tell you something. If you try to handpick it, they won't have nothing to do with it. You just might as well let them be. But I'm sure that crossed Joshua's mind. So now he's making the statement, and I don't believe that Joshua was just blowing smoke. I don't believe he's just doing lip service. I truly believe he had his house in order. And I believe that's Bible. And he had his house in order, and he said, you know, I'm getting old here. You know, how many knows the older you get, the more you can get by with? You've earned the right to be cranky. You've earned the right to be negative. And people will just overlook it. I mean, well, you're young and you'd be like that. You know, people talk about, oh, they're just hard to get along with. But once you get in the rocking chair age, just don't pay no attention to him. He's all right, you know. you pretty much say what you want to, and people just give you the benefit of the doubt. And that smiles and bless his heart, you know, that kind of thing. But here he is over in the end of his life. And he has nothing to fall back on except the truth. I mean, there's no reason now that he should be blowing smoke or telling them lip service. He's telling them. He said, I know how it is. I've seen some of you. But you've grown complacent. You've gotten mixed in with this what God told you not to. You've begun to look at the strange gods and you begin to kind of infiltrate with them. You've even wanted to be associated with them. When God explicitly told us we're entering into the land of Canaan, but we cannot and never will need to be a part of that. So now he's preaching to them. He's kind of laying the law down. And then he says, choose you this day. Right now. Sister Linda was talking about the time when God laid it on her heart to speak to this young man. He may not have another year. We don't know. Today, you know, is the day of salvation. You know, life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Maybe God was laying that person on her heart so that she could speak to him, you know. Now is the time. Joshua was telling the people, said, choose you this day. Now, don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next month. But choose you right now. Quit playing around. Either be on God's side or, you know, whatever. That's what Joshua was telling them now. And this is a man they respected. This is a man who had been a true leader. This is Moses' right-hand man. And it's the man that God had called for this time. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seem evil to you to serve this God, you know, then serve the gods that your generations have served over in Egypt and all that. But it's time to make a commitment. Come on. It's getting stern with him now. He's laying the law down. Why? Because he knows he hasn't got much time left. I mean, he's got to say, you know what? I may not be here much longer, but I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to tell you exactly what God has told us. You have gotten a little slack. You've gotten a little complacent. You've gotten a little looking a little bit with alluring eyes at the world. And it's time now, this day, to choose who you're going to serve. But then he makes another statement. He said, but as for me, in other words, I can preach to you and I can tell you, but as for me, and not only me, but my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Now, think about that. As he has girls only. That means probably that at this point in his life, if this has been a long, long time, I don't imagine he's got little girls running around. I would have just imagined, and I don't have anything to back this up except just a little ideology here, but I would think, according to the age, his probably daughters are grown. And they're probably married. So I would imagine that Joshua probably had a hand kind of in that. Man, you get you a good man. You get you a man that's going to support you. You get you a man that's going to worship God with you. Because how could he make that statement unless he knew their life? Unless he knew their dedication? Unless he knew their commitment? And I believe that that particular time, and that is what accountability is all about. That's what being answerable to God. You know, not only, Lord, am I ready, but Lord,
my family, you know, we're dedicated, we're committed. And that's wonderful. And he begins to speak that. And he begins to tell. But then he speaks to the children of Israel. And then on 7 different occasions, just I believe in chapter number 23, he mentions those idolatrous nations that are still in Canaan. Okay? You got to understand that Israel now owns the land of Canaan, but there's different little sections in there that are still idolatrous, meaning they're worship idols, which is against God's ordinance and against God's statutes. And he didn't just change that because he gave them the promised land. Come on. Just because God has given you a great a promise doesn't mean he slacked up on his law or his word. Okay? You still need to be obedient unto God. So he said there's these different little sections. 7 times he mentions that in his address. And he's not just telling them what he thinks. He's telling them what God has spoke to them. But then, being the leader that he is, he gives them 3 safeguards. Somebody say, thank God for safeguards. Thank God for warning signs. Amen. Thank God for the crossbars that light up and go down when there's a train coming. What do? When you see that? I think I'm going to beat it. No. You stop. Come on. God knows what's out there. God knows our future. He knows what we're facing. And thank God he can give us safeguards. How many knows that the Bible is full of safeguards? Full of directions, full of instructions. And if we will make them applicable to our life, amen, we'll be a lot better off. But that's a sermon for another time. Now he's got 3 safeguards. 3 safeguards that he's going to tell them. First of all, he said in verse number 6 of chapter number 23, verse number 6. Verse number 6 reads this way. Be ye therefore very courageous. Where did that come from? God told him that 3 times when he called him. Be strong and courageous. Be courageous. Why do you need to be courageous? To keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. So the first adherence, or the first safeguard, is a complete adherence to God's word. Adherence meaning obeying, knowing and obeying God's word. Never discount the word of God. The word of God is wonderful. It's a living word, and it's meant to be obeyed. Amen? So continue to adhere, to listen, and to obey God's word. The second safeguard is a continued separation from these idolatrous nations. God, can you just move them all? God, can you just take every evil thing out of my life? But God has done something better than that. He has filled us with His Spirit to let us know, amen, that we don't have to partake of those things. We see the warning signs. Come on, we see the stop signs. When you're driving down the road and you see an arrow that does this, you don't need to hit the accelerator. You better be slowing down because there's a curve up ahead. Amen. And when we're in tune with God, when we're in tune with that Spirit, He lets us know these warning signs, these safeguards that will help us be able to be equipped for whatever battle or whatever situation that we encounter. So the first thing is adherence or obedience unto God's Word. The second thing is a continued separation. Be ye a separate people. Come out from them. You know, the Bible still speaks of that. From these idolatrous nations. Third is, they're all important. Third, real and fervent love of God. First of all, I want to read the second one. Verse number 7. That's where he talks about that. This is a continued separation. That ye come not among these nations. Now, listen how explicit he is with his word. Not only does he tell them, don't have nothing to do with them. Here's what he goes into full detail. To keep and do all that, well, first of all, that was 6, I'm sorry. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods. Not only don't serve them, don't even mention them. Don't even bring them up in a conversation. Nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. That is an absolute and complete separation. Not only that, but a complete, not even acknowledging that there exists. Amen? Because of Jehovah God. And then third is the real and fervent love of God. And he addresses that basically a little more in detail because he uses verse 8, 9, 10, and 11
to address the real and fervent love of God. You know, you can ask almost anybody, do you love God? And almost anybody say, yeah, you love God. But you know, loving God is more than just saying, I love God. It is complete commitment to God and loving Him and loving everything about Him and being obedient and submissive to God. So a real and fervent love of God entails this, beginning with verse number 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. To me, that is where you go, I'm going. Never leave me, never forsake. I'm going where you go. Cleave unto God. Hold unto Him as you have done this day. For the Lord hath driven out from you before great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you as he promised, hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Listen, God not only tells them to continue to love me, but he's telling them, you listen, with me nobody can stand against you. No battle is too big for you. No mountain is too great. Devil can't do anything to you as long as I'm standing with you and I'm on your side. Three wonderful safeguards that he is leaving with the children of Israel. But why did he have to do that? Why did he have to do that? Because those nations that remained, the children of Israel, you remember how they were? You know how they were when Moses went up into the mountain to receive of God? We need us a God. Moses is gone. He ain't coming back. We need us a God. So they erected a golden calf. So they already had that little bit in them. There was that little thing in them. And when they saw the other nations and they saw how they worshiped, many, many times the children of Israel would turn, amen, from Jehovah God and begin to move more toward the idolatrous worship. And Joshua knew that. And he said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be a part of it. Don't even mention it. Don't even let that stay in your mind. Don't desire that whatsoever. Accountable. Accountability. We are accountable. Amen. We're accountable for our life. We're accountable for our prayer life. We're accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, amen, that with God's power and strength, we will win. We will be successful. And we will inherit what God has promised us. God bless you. Love you with all my heart. Appreciate each and every one of you for coming tonight. I just pray that God will give you a wonderful evening, a wonderful balance of the week. I do know we do have this Saturday and at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Saturday. Anyone 13 and over or 14 and over? What is it? Is 13 the cutoff? 13 and over. You're welcome to come. It's an aware. What is the term of? Threat awareness program, and it's put on by the police department. Something that, again, you know, the security cameras, and it's just the environment and the day and hour that we're living in. And the Bible says, watch and pray. So we're certainly going to pray and pray that God protects us. But there's also things that they can share with us that'll help us be a little bit more aware, a little bit more ready, should something, God forbid, ever happen drastic in our community or even in our neighborhood. So this is something I think it'll be very beneficial to those. And the reason there's a 13, because some of the slideshows I think are a little bit, maybe a little bit too strong for a small child. We don't certainly don't want to scare anybody. We just want people to be aware. So that'll be this Saturday at 10 o'clock. All right, all hearts and minds clear? If you would stand tonight, heads bowed, eye closed. If you have a need tonight, please come. We'll pray with you. Amen. God's real on Wednesday night just as he is on Sunday. If you have a need, just come and we'll pray with you and pray for you. God bless you. We love you. Amen. If you have an unspoken request, just let it be known by the lifting of your hands. And God knows and sees those needs. So let's just pray. Let's just all pray as we dismiss tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful, God, for your presence. We're thankful for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray your blessing upon every family represented. Pray, God, that you would continue to lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Father, that we'll take your word to heart, God, that we'll be submissive and obedient to it. God, I pray, Lord, that we will realize that we are accountable. Not only accountable ourselves, but we are our brother's keeper according to the word of God. And Father, I pray your blessing on those who are sick. Every hand that was raised tonight, God, concerning every situation. We place it in your hands. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.